Reading from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard of the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are kings in palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amen.
We've reached the third Sunday of Advent. Anyone stressed yet? But Gaudete Sunday means rejoice, not stress, not, oh my goodness, the cards are still on the kitchen table and I have no idea where the stamps are, let alone a biro. We light our Advent candle because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And in some traditions today, the Advent candle is pink to signify joy. It's a way of saying, hold on. The waiting is almost over. Hope is beginning to blossom. But if we're honest, it can be a tricky message to hear. And for many of us, this time of year isn't joyful. The news isn't joyful. Did you see the headlines this morning? 2 students are dead and 9 others are critically injured following a shooting at Brown University on Rhode Island. And some of the injured are critical. There will be more deaths. And the suspect is still at large. And if, like me, you turn to the BBC News in the morning, that is, you know, these headlines, they are painful. And in our own lives, we have events that are not fair. They're not right. And the waiting for justice, the waiting for reconciliation, the waiting for healing, it just goes on. And we might look around and think, well, where exactly is the joy? I see the festive lights, I see the beauty of the decorations, but I'm not feeling it. Well, today's lectionary readings are for that. Isaiah 35 opens with an incredible image. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. The prophet is speaking to a people who have been through exile. They're disoriented, displaced, exhausted. And yet, Isaiah dares to imagine a world turned upside down by God's renewal. The dry places start to bloom. The fearful find courage. The weak are strengthened. And even the path home, a highway in the desert, becomes safe and joyful for all. This is poetry, yes, but it's also protest. Isaiah looks at the devastation around him and insists, this is not the end of the story. I wonder whether we can hear that same promise of renewal today, not as fantasy or denial, but as resistance, a refusal to give up on life blossoming in dry places. I believe that the waiting period of Advent is not a passive kind of waiting, a sit back and do nothing kind of patience, and nor do I believe it should be a time of frantic preparations for Christmas Day. How many times has my daughter texted me about Christmas? I believe that waiting is an active, hopeful waiting, even a stubborn waiting. It is waiting with care, expectation, and with trust. And this is not a passive waiting because we wait with small acts of resistance. We light the Advent candles. We have our decorations that speak of some exciting history-changing event. We rally round someone who needs support. We show up for someone who feels isolated. We choose kindness over cynicism. And these small acts are like watering dry soil. They're our way of saying, we still believe that love will break through. We are hopeful. We still believe love will break through. We are hopeful. And then we turn to our New Testament reading. And it doesn't seem hopeful when we meet John the Baptist in prison. This is the prophet who once shouted, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And he's now confined and wondering where he got it wrong. He sends word to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or have we got it wrong? Should we wait for another?" I do wonder what the relationship between John and Jesus was like. Both were cousins, both were children of cousins. I can never remember how the cousins system works. But both mothers had experienced remarkable pregnancies, and I wonder if these two hung out together. I wonder whether they shared the burden of being miracle children. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? That question feels deeply human. John is saying, I thought I knew what salvation looked like, but now it doesn't look like what I expected. Can you relate? Perhaps the hope we were promised doesn't come in quite the way we imagined. Healing takes longer. Justice is delayed. God seems quiet. Our dog Maggie has been with us 2.5 months now. She's a rescue. She was found begging at a rehab centre in the mountains of northern Macedonia. I don't know what she's been through in her short life, but I do know this. She's experienced the loss of her mother and her litter mates. She's had to scavenge for food to survive, and at some point she broke her tail, or her tail has been broken. And she's never been able to trust a human being. And this presents in a dog with hypervigilance. She'll jump up and get skittish because she doesn't know how to be calm around people. Don't come to the manse. She's afraid of what a human being can and does do. And last week I forgot all of this. I was in tears. I was cross with myself more than Maggie. I was fed up of it all. I was ground down. Why wasn't she responding to all the training? How could she be amazing one day and then just so awful the next? And then someone in the park told me that 2 months was ever such a long time in a dog's life. And that, of course, made me feel it was a... She was trying to encourage me, but oh my goodness, that made me feel so much worse, you know. And I found myself going down the rabbit hole of being an absolutely rubbish dog mum. Healing, of course, has no time scale. And as a woman of faith, I know that God is with me in all of the healing process. Healing is happening. Maggie is learning what living in a home is all about. But when you're right in it, living in it, isn't it hard? Whatever you're in, it is so hard. You know all this. I'm sure you've had experiences of just awful times where things have not turned out as you have expected. And what you have imagined or believed to happen hasn't come to pass. And here is John asking the fully human question, "I thought I knew, it's not what I thought it would be. Is Jesus the one?" And Jesus doesn't tell John off. Whatever their family relationship, Jesus doesn't send back word that says, "Come on, John, have blind faith in me, come on." Instead, he sends back a message via his disciples saying, "Go and tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind see, the lame walk, sickness ends. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor and the marginalised learn that God is on their side. In other words, look for life where you see it. Look for signs of light. Look for love at work in small places, unexpected places. The kingdom is already sprouting, even if it doesn't look like what we had pictured. Isaiah dreams of flowers in the desert. Jesus points to quiet miracles already happening. Maggie the dog falls safely asleep in our home. Hope is not naive optimism. It's choosing to trust that God's love is already germinating beneath the surface, even when we can't see the bloom. And perhaps that's what joy looks like this Gaudete Sunday. Not a fake cheerfulness or a toxic positivity, but a deep gladness that comes from noticing God's work in the ordinary, the overlooked, and the half finished. So keep tending your patch of hope. Keep watering your dry soil. Keep looking for blossoms. Because the promise still stands. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Amen.